Amen. And so here we are, the end of the year. And I love the way that God works out times and sermons and thoughts and gets things in place the way that God, only God can do. And looking at, I told myself that I would not say these words, but myself doesn't really count. I think the Lord told me, New Year's resolutions, all right? Don't say that you're going to go to the gym and lose weight. You're lying to yourself. All right? Don't say that you're going to stop this, you're going to stop that. Because that's just, how many times have you lied to yourself about that? I'm almost 60. All right? I've done it for 60 years in a row. I'm not going to go to the gym. I'll make that resolution. And I will probably not lose weight. And so,
I think you'll keep those.
I think I will. I think those will.
Resolve to eat more, you can keep
them. There you go. Resolve to eat more. I'm going to do more cookies for my wife. You know, she likes me jolly. Little chunky there. Keeps the bed warm at night. But here's something I want to do. Is I want to know what God requires of me this year. And I want to do what He wants of me. He expects some things of us because we are His church, we are His people. And we're looking in Deuteronomy chapter 10 verses 12 and following, and Micah 6:8 says, this is what God requires of you: to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before the Lord. If God requires that of you, what's stopping you from doing it? God's saying that if you're my person, if you're my church, if you're going to represent the God of the Bible, there are certain characteristics, certain lifestyles, certain things that you, a code of conduct, I guess, is what God is calling us to, a code of conduct. And if we will walk in that code of conduct, if we will live the way that God wants us to, there are certain blessings that He gives us. God requires us to fear Him. Right? Fear the Lord, that's the first thing. That's Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I've read it like every week, so why not read it again? Amen? And I'll read it every time until we get done with it. Amen? I don't know how long this teaching is going to last. But anyhow, 10 and verse 12 says, now, Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord thy God with thy heart and with all thy soul, all of your soul to serve Him. Man, to keep the commandments of the Lord, His statutes which I command you this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. He chose their seed after them, even you above all people as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Wow. There are some New Year's resolutions that I'm reading in there. All right, there's some things that I'm looking at there. We'll get back to it in a minute. Circumcise, verse 16, circumcise therefore the foreskins of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Okay, I got to finish reading this because my mind's saying, speak on it, but I think the Spirit's saying, let the Word of God speak for Himself. For the Lord, your God, is God of gods and the Lord of lords, capital Lord over little Lord, capital God over little g gods, right? He is the one in charge. As a Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doeth execute judgment of the fatherless and the widows, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Verse 20, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and to swear by his name. He is thy praise, he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of the heaven for multitude.
Wow.
Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Or always. That's what that's
saying.
Pardon?
There is
not. Hey, oh. No. 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 Always, period. Oh. some of them have it, some of it don't. Anyhow, did you hear what God asked, what he requires of you? To love the Lord your God with everything you have. To fear him. And we talked about this. These are the attributes of fearing God. When you really fear him, he opens up knowledge to you. If you don't fear God, God will keep the book closed to you. He'll keep the secret things of God secret to you. If you don't fear him enough to follow him, to obey him, to love him, to walk in his statutes, when you do fear the Lord your God with all your heart, he grants you wisdom and understanding. Who here wants to be just a little bit wiser? All right, wise guys, right? I want to do that. I want to do that, so I'm going to want to walk with him. I'm going to want to follow him. I'm going to want to honor him. He helps me to understand that this world government that we see, the wars and the rumors of the wars, are just the beginning of the child pains. It's nothing to worry about. Why? Because I understand him. When I understand God, when I fear God, and I understand his wisdom, his ways, his love, his righteousness, even a little bit, I have great confidence in the God who created all things. That he set things into motion, and he's going to see that motion until the new heavens and the new earth come. Right? He is absolutely, totally in charge, and I have nothing to fear except for him. Jesus said, don't fear a man who's able to take away your body, but fear him who's able to take away your life and to cast your soul into hell. There's only one able to do that, and that's the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods, the King of Kings. Jesus Christ is his name. Fear him, and he'll grant you wisdom and understanding. He'll grant you a long life. All right? Do you know that you can live in such a manner you shorten your life? Drunk driving. You will shorten your life. All right? Drugs, alcohol, you will shorten your life. Sex outside of marriage, you will shorten your life.
Not honoring your parents,
you will shorten your life. In fact, that's the first commandment with a promise.
That's right.
Amen? You'll shorten, there are certain things that you can do that God says, listen, I warned you enough, I need to talk to you face to face. Come here. Right?
You may live long in the earth.
Amen. That you might live long. Yeah. Honor thy father and mother that you might live long and learn. You can get satisfaction when you really fear God. He grants you satisfaction. I have never been so satisfied than when I really feared the Lord. When I learned the fear of the Lord, then I learned what real contentment in God is. No matter where I am at, no matter what state I'm in, as Paul said, therewith I have learned how to be content. Why? Because God. I'm satisfied fearing him. The fear of the Lord taught me to hate evil and pride and arrogance. That's what it tells you in Proverbs 8 and 13. Pride, arrogance. How I hate those things. I hate evil. Not because it doesn't titillize my flesh, because it does. Who here knows that evil is fun? It will please you for a moment, but the end thereof is death. Right? Sin, it's titillizing for a moment. How about Acts 9 and 31? As I fear the Lord, he gives me edification. He teaches me how to edify, and he gives me growth. Who wants to grow in the Lord this year? You better start fearing God. And I'm not just talking about honoring God with all that you have. If you fear God, you're going to honor him. Amen? That fear of the Lord is a real thing that we need to understand. And it's not like, oh, God's coming, I'm going to hide under a rock. It's God's coming. I need to know who I am, the sin of my own heart, and be absolutely devastated because of it. Because he is a holy God, and he cannot look on sin. to fear him because he is worthy to be feared. He's worthy to be honored. Second thing he asked for is that we would walk in his ways. To walk in the ways of the Lord. And so that's where we'll be at today. I did the other as a reminder. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much. I pray that you would again this year teach us to walk in your way, to understand your statutes, your commandments, Father, to fear you, to walk in love with you, Lord Jesus, that we might be the children of the Most High God. I ask, Lord God, that you would touch our hearts in a real and personal way, that we wouldn't desire to live by sight, but we would walk by faith and understand that you absolutely are totally in control. And Lord, we thank you for those things. We ask for that, your word, that it would guide us into all truth and righteousness. And we thank you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Micah 8 and 6, and we talked about this a little bit already, but Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, I said it backwards, I'm sorry. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. Wow. Walking with God. Amos said this, and it was, I looked at this a little bit. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Alright? Can you walk with God if you're not agreeing with what God says? Can you walk in the holiness and the righteousness of God if you're not willing to follow what the holiness and the righteousness of God says? Well, no. God's on a path, he's on a trajectory of holiness, of righteousness, to call out a people that is set apart for his good work, to make a people holy that were not holy, to change the inner man that the outer man might be conformed into the image of the Most High God. To do that, I need to walk. Now, that's just not talking about walking. It's talking about my whole life being metamorphosized, being changed into Christ. That the Word of God is working on the inside of me to change my sinful, lustful, self-centered way into a lifestyle that represents Jesus Christ. Now, I know that I'm always going to fall short of that, amen? Who here thinks they've made it? If you think you have, you're on the wrong bus. Alright? Because we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned. All have gone their own way. Then, again, my two favorite words in the whole Bible, you see it several times in the Word of God, but God. But God sent His only begotten Son. But God met us in the midst of our sin and loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So since Jesus paid such a high price for my unrighteousness, how big of a struggle should it be for me to try, to strive to live in His righteousness? That His Word, His will, His ways might be manifest in me, that us, the church, would be the glory of God on this earth. That the kingdom of God would live through you in such a way that the world would see your works and they would glorify your Father who is in heaven. Well, that means my walk has got to be in sync with His Word. My lifestyle needs to be in His way, in His Word. Second Corinthians, I got verse 7 written down here. And I like doing it this way because I got to shuffle through the Bible just the same as you do. I haven't gotten to the board yet. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. I think I already know what it says, but I want to read it because I don't know about y'all. I often do it incorrectly. And so, amen? All right. I can't just read 5 and 7. 5:1 For we know If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house made without hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that we being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are his tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that which be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are content, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. All right, that first part of chapter 5, look at what Paul is writing to the church. First, we know that this earthly house, this tabernacle, if it's dissolved, if you are born again of God, you have a building of God. Praise God. How do I know that? Well, the Word of God says it. And if I am the building of God, that building has a certain, what is it when you go to build a house and there's an inspector that comes out? Code enforcer. Right? Isn't that what it is? The code enforcer? Make sure that you got your foundations dug right. Make sure that you use your 2x4s on a true 16-inch center. Make sure that your electricity's hooked up the right way, that the positive's on the positive and the ground's on the ground, right? Right? Amen, right? That's wrong?
Not positive.
No, okay. It's not positive. But anyhow, you have your circuits done right. Right? And if the circuit isn't done right, then the code inspector will fail the house. God has given us his word, his instruction book, that we would walk in such a way that on the day of the resurrection we'll be found complete in him, having the new body that's promised through him. He asked us to walk in his ways, in his judgments, in his statutes, in his commandments, that we would not sin against the Most High God. There is a judgment coming. There's a day coming that we will all stand before God. And we will either be found in clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ through our faith in him, or we'll be found in the arrogance of our own deceit and lost and cast out eternally to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He hath wrought the same thing, verse 5. He hath wrought, now that he hath wrought us, for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. When you have accepted Jesus Christ and surrendered to his way, the Holy Spirit seals you with the seal of promise until the day of redemption, that you are sealed in him through faith. All right, you can't do it of yourself. So if I am sealed in Christ and I fear God, my lifestyle needs to represent the God of the Bible. If it's not representing the God of the Bible, then on that day of judgment, I'll be found a liar. See, it doesn't matter what your mouth says. It matters the spirit that's in you. Do we really fear God enough to walk in his commandments and statutes? Do we fear God enough to honor him with our bodies, with our minds, with what we put into our hearts and our minds? Do we fear him enough to say, you're right, God, and I'm wrong? My feelings say this, but the Word of God says something different. And if the Word of God says something different than my feelings, something's got to change. I would dare say someone's got to change, because the Word of God never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the things of God. So we do this as we walk by faith and not by sight. I cannot make this happen in my own life. I've got to walk in obedience to the Word of God. And as I walk into the obedience of the Word of God, God enables my physical body to be obedient to the spiritual law. Paul said, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Right? He's talking about the two sides of him. What I want to do, I don't do, but what I don't want to do, I find myself doing continually. So who's going to deliver me from this body of death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ that he gave me a way to walk in the righteousness of God. I'm adding this, that God, through the Holy Spirit, gave Paul and you and I the ability to walk in the righteousness of God. See, I can't do it in and of myself. I am surrounded by a body of death. Everything that is in me is against God in my flesh. There's nothing inside of Curtis Fitz that makes me want to do the things of God except a belief that God is God and I'm not. Right? It's only His work in me. It's only His desire in me. It's only His will that makes my will bend to the righteousness of God, that makes me want to walk the straight and narrow path. Because in and of myself, I don't want to do it. If it was just me before I was saved, I would want to go the way of the world. It's broad. It's easy. Anybody can walk down a four-lane paved highway. And that's the way of the world. That's the way of sin and death. That's the way of your flesh. That's the way of sight and not of faith. Faith tells me that there's a little small trail that's hard, that's difficult, that's not easy, that I can't, that I in myself, by myself, am not able to climb to the mount in and of my own will. But if I trust the guider, if I trust the Holy Spirit, if I trust the Word of God and walk by the faith that is found in the Word of God, then I'm able to achieve what God wants me to be in spite of myself. It's not that I can do it, it's that He does it through me. It's not that I can will myself to be better. Amen? Do you think that you can make yourself be better? You got to surrender to God. You surrender to Jesus Christ. You fear God. You surrender to His will above your will. And He grants you those things. And then He tells us to walk in the light. Wow. 1 John has a lot to say about the light. Walking in the light in His righteousness. 1 John chapter 5. Oh, I went over right to Revelation. First John 1. And 5. I think I have 1 through 7, but we're going to start before that. Okay. About fellowship. We might even start before that. 1 John 1, 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with, and with our hands handled the word of life. You haven't done that, but God has. The only word of life that you handle is your King James Bible, right? That's the word of life you can handle. But John the Apostle actually sat down, he ate with him. At the Last Supper, he laid his head on the breast, on the chest of God, and he walked with him, he talked with him. They shared campfires together, right? They handled the word of God. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us, that which we have seen and we have heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, walking together in fellowship, the oneness of heart. Amen. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy might be full. This then is the message which we heard from Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. All right, this first chapter of 1 John tells us that God is real, that God loves you. The one who wrote it actually handled Jesus Christ. He touched him. And in his resurrection body, he saw the nails. He saw the thorn, the scars of the thorns. He saw him as he truly is, God manifested in flesh. He was there. We always think the Last Supper, the one before Gethsemane, right? We think that's the Last Supper. Actually, the Last Supper was held on the bank of the Galilee where Jesus cooked some fish for Peter and the boys when they were fishing. Right? Actually, that's the Last Breakfast that's recorded in the Bible. Anyhow, God is light. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. I need to get over there because I got to make sure I'm doing it right. This is John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then he goes on talking about John the Baptizer, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. All right? God is light. He is truth. His way that he asks us to walk is in the light. What is the light that was in every man? What was his name? Starts with J. His last name is his position. It can either be a C or an M. Which one? Come on, guys. Y'all are Bible folks, all right? Jesus in his position is Christ, right? He is the light of every man. Everyone who has ever been born, that spark of light that happens inside of the womb when the seed and the egg first make that very first cell between them, and there's that explosion of light on the inside of the mother's womb, that is Christ forming a human, right? That's the beginning of all things. He was the light that lit every man. And he's asking us to walk in the light as he is in the light. Back to 1 John, again, this is the message which you have heard, verse 5, heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. All right, there's your personal walk, your personal testimony. If you say that you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you're living in darkness, you're living in known sin, you're willfully sinning against the Word of God, the King James Bible, not following God's commandments, not desiring the statutes of God, and you call yourself a child of God, you are a liar. And that old saying, liar, liar, pants on fire, that'll happen. That'll happen. You can lie yourself right to hell. You can believe in your mouth with your mind that you are a child of God, but if you're not walking in the light of God, walking in a living, chastised way with the Lord, fearing God with all of your heart, all of your mind, loving him with everything that is in you, loving him more than your own life, when you get to heaven, you may say, Lord, Lord, and Jesus is going to say, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. He's light, he's love, he's power, and you can deceive yourself. You can really think, you can think that you made it, that you're there, that you're His child, that you're a follower, because you confessed Him with your mouth and you believed on your heart one day back in 1972. But since then, you've not walked with Him. You've not followed Him. You've not humbled yourself before Him. You've never applied the words of God in your life and allowed Him to conform you into His image. When you get to heaven, I fear for you. When you stand before God on judgment day, I fear for you. Because you chose not to walk in His ways. If you don't walk in His ways, if you say that you have light and you have fellowship with darkness, the scripture says you're a liar. It's not me saying you're a liar. I love you. Hey, listen, if I had my way, all y'all are going to heaven. All dogs go to heaven. That's my way. That's my will. God says no. No dogs are going to heaven. I know you pet lovers are saying, anyhow, I'm not talking about human dogs. I don't know what God does with animals. And scripture doesn't.
He has his own animals.
He has his own. Amen. Right. You know, how many dogs have you lost in your life? There's a dog in heaven for me that doesn't make a mess on the carpet. Amen. Anyhow, thank you for that, Doug. I appreciate it. And but if we walk in the light, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, what is light? Jesus Christ. Amen. If we walk in Jesus Christ, if we walk in Him as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. How much sin? All of it. What is the condition of that? I have to walk in the light. In other words, it's not that I don't sin. It's when I do sin, I'm in the light. It's exposed. I confess it to Jesus, and He does what? Forgives me of all of my sin.
And cleanses you from unrighteousness.
Amen. And cleanses, because that's the second part, just as big as the first. He cleanses me from all unrighteousness. But I have to be in the light. I have to have a walk, a lifestyle, a conversation, a realness of the hope that's within me. It can't just be words. It can't just be emotions. It has to be way deeper than that. Because I can fool you guys, and you guys can fool me, but I'm not going to fool the Lord. Those folks that we're talking about, Matthew chapter 7, verses 20 through 23, I think, that say, Lord, Lord, they thought they were saved. But God said that they were workers of iniquity. In other words, their walk wasn't in fellowship with the Word of God. Their lifestyle didn't represent Jesus at all. And God threw them out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. All saying, I dare say that a lot of folks that think that they're in God are not. All right? We need to walk in the light as He is in the light. We need to walk with Him. For without Him, we can do nothing in and of ourselves. I love it because I write all over my paper. I have one sideways here. John 8 and 12, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, this is Jesus talking, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen? Jesus said that. I am the light of the world. All right? And he who has me shall walk in light. All right? What are you walking in? This is for the new year. What are you walking in? Are you? We say we are, but are we really and truly? Are we brutally honest with God? We talked about King David today. King David was a sinner. Nothing special about that man, except he was a man after God's own heart. What made him that way? He confessed his sin before God. You read the Psalms, and you look at how broken he was over the sin of his life. Remember, he was a great man of God, but he had so much blood on his hand that he couldn't build the temple of God. How about it? Person? Human? We claim that we're in the light, but we're walking in darkness. Ask yourself, as you sit right here where you're at, how much darkness is consuming your everyday life? Just the everyday life. I'm not saying you're committing adultery, you're watching ungodly things or whatever. You can be morally correct and still be without Jesus Christ. We saw that guy.
Abaziah,
right?
Abaziah.
Yeah, and so we went over him this morning in Sunday school. Abaziah, he did what was right by the law of God, but he didn't...
Not with a perfect heart.
He did it without a perfect heart. Thank you, my brother. I was trying to come up with that.
Yep.
His heart wasn't right with God. Esau, he repented with tears, but he couldn't find forgiveness because his heart wasn't right with God. You can say the right thing, you can live the right way, but if you do it without God guiding you, you're doing it in vain. You can be morally correct and still go to hell. You can come to church every Sunday, you can say all the right prayers, you can read all the right scripture, read the right Bible. But if you don't have your heart truly in tune with Jesus Christ, and when I mean in tune, you know, I kind of play around with the guitar. I really don't play guitar, but I play around with the guitar. You know how often I've got to tune it, retune it? Every day. Every day. I mean, every day, because if you strum it, it's a little, the E's not quite where it needs to be, or, you know, the D or the G's not quite right. You know, you got to retune it, and you got to retune it. Sometimes when you're playing it, it goes out of tune. You know, you're playing a song and it just goes, you know, Dave, right?
I was going to say every day, it's more like every 15 minutes.
Yeah, you know? And it just happens. You're walking through this world, you're living this life, and all of a sudden you get out of tune. Well, God's got to take it, He's got to tighten you up, or He's got to loosen you up a little bit. He's got to fix that tune. That we would be in harmony with God's Word. We're walking in this life. And every day I need, what's that? An attitude adjustment. If y'all know country and music, you know what I'm talking about.
And oh, yeah.
And God loves you enough to give you that. He wants you to have the fullness of the light of the fellowship of God. He wants that in you. So He gave us a living Word. He gave us the Bible. He gave us a way to walk in the righteousness of God down a very narrow path that only a few find. You know why only a few find it? Because they don't use the Word of God as a lamp and a light to their path and their feet. They go the way that their heart tells them to go. And folks, I don't know everybody's heart, but I know the one that beats in this chest, it is wicked. And there is nothing good in it. The only thing good in my heart is the surrounding of Jesus Christ, the propitiation of God Himself, over top of my wicked beating heart. So I need to be in tune with His voice, with His words, with His righteousness, which is the only way that I can even attempt to walk with Him, in Him, for Him. Oh my goodness, this is just the first one. tell you this is going to be a long sermon, right? We all know Psalm verse 1, right? 1:1. We ought to know it. I'm going to turn to it just because. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law, in God's law, doeth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind bloweth, driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. About your walk, about his light, about your obedience, and about the reward. Psalm 1:1. First Psalm of the Bible. Right?
Perfect.
It's perfect. Blessed is the man. Who wants to be blessed? Blessed by God? Let me ask you, are you walking in the counsel of the ungodly or standing in the way of the sinners? Or sitting in the seat of the scornful? If you're doing that, you're not having the blessings of God. You might win this, everything this world has. Lucifer himself tempted Jesus. The kingdoms, my kingdoms are given to you if you'll just bow down to me. Right? You might have everything this world offers. You might be on the top of your pile. Who cares if that, if you're at the top of your pile, winds up burning in hell? If you're sitting, if you're coming along the side, sitting or standing or walking in the way of the ungodly, in the way of sinners, in the way of the scornful, your chaff, your dust, your refuse, your garbage before God. And He will burn you, not because He wants to, but because that's where you want it to be. But if you want the righteousness of God, then you need to delight in His law. Wow. Have you ever thought of that? But His delight is in the law of the Lord. All right. If you are really going to know God in the depth of God, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doeth He meditate day and night. If you do that, if you meditate on God's word, this year, you got 365 days. And if you're Hebrew, you got 360, so you got 5 days left. And less. 365 days this year to meditate. Huh? 360, yeah.
No, 366.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, amen. Yeah, oh, is it a leap year?
Yeah.
Wow. Go figure that. So you got an extra day this year. Right? To meditate on the Word of the Lord. To think about His ways. To adjust your life to His will. To adjust your walk to His walk. To repent of your sin and embrace His righteousness. What you gonna do 366 days this year? The gauntlet is being thrown. Can you feel it? The challenge is on the table. God wants you to do these things. He wants to bless you. He wants to go before you. He wants to heal you. Not just physically, but spiritually most definitely. The greatest healing, I would dare say, is not a physical healing. Amen? The greatest healing is a spiritual healing. When you are healed and you are right with God, and your hope is in Him, found in Him, it does not matter what this physical body goes through. It's but dust anyhow. It's going to return to the dust. 2 Corinthians, the first scripture that we started with, talks about the new body. Talks about the one that's going to be clothed in light. The one that's going to be the glory of God. Well, that's not this one. Amen. This mortal must put on immortality. This unrighteousness must put on righteousness. We got 2 out of 8 scriptures done this day. One more quick one. I won't talk a lot on this one. You know, say, amen, praise God. And so, Matthew chapter 6, and talking about light and life, and your light, your walk with God. And so this is in the Beatitudes. And, you know, I always throw this silly thing out there. This needs to be your attitude. All of the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 6, 7, 8, right? That needs to be the way you... It's a principle that leads to the principalities of God, and you work those things out. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's talking about your walk on this earth with a kingdom mindset. All right? You're looking to put your... All right? The light of the body is the eye. If thine eye therefore be single, thy whole body shall be filled full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be filled with darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? What an interesting question Jesus lays out here. All right, look at verse 22 through 23 again. The light of the body is the eye. What are you looking at? What are you desiring? Where is your focus? Where's your goal set up? The light. I have a goal. My eye is focused on the goal. I'm looking for the next great thing. Right. That's where I'm focused at. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, thine eye be single. Your whole body shall be full of light. What is the one thing that is true? The Lord Jesus Christ, His Word, the King James Bible. That's the one thing. If you're focused on that, then you are true in your light in your life, and you'll end up in a certain place. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be filled with darkness. If you believe the ways of the world are the righteousness of God, I dare say that you will be found in darkness. Right? If you think that the ways of this world are the righteousness of God, you will be found wanting. You'll be weighed in the balances, and you'll be found wanting, because there is no goodness in this world short of Jesus Christ, His Word. All right? And if you're focused on the ways of this world and living in the ways of this world, then you are living in darkness. And even if you think you're looking at light, your heart be darkness, because it goes on, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If you're thinking that the unrighteousness of this world is actually the prosperity of God, then how wrong are you? How wrong am I? If the light that I perceive, which actually is darkness by the Word of God, if God says that this is darkness, and you're perceiving that darkness as light, then how deep is the darkness that you're within that lets you see the evil of this world as light, as goodness?
I think it refers to the lust of the eye.
Amen. That's exactly what it's talking about. The lust of the eye, the pride of life. You know, because he goes on and talks about the treasures that you hold. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve the Lord of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the love of money. You cannot serve that and serve God at the same time. Again, Jesus talked to the church in the Revelation. I would prefer you are hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I will spew you. I will vomit you. I will expel you out of my mouth. I'm going to spit you out because you're nasty. Anyone here ever eat something really nasty? Burdock leaf fresh off the plant? Have you tried that? It will make you spit it out.
You mean like sushi?
It's better than sushi. Anyhow, on that note, choose you today who you're going to serve. Which way are you going to walk? Because there's two different ways. You will either serve the Lord, the Prince of the power of the air, or you're going to serve the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You're either going to walk in the commandments of God, or you're going to follow the lust of your own flesh. The choice is yours. But the truth of God's not going to change. If you choose to do the way of the world, you will die and be cast out. That is just the truth. If you choose to walk the narrow, hard path, the righteousness of God, you choose to walk in His ways and not your own desire, you choose to fear Him and not fear man, then yeah, it's going to be hard on this life. Amen. It will be hard in this world. They're going to persecute you. But the rewards are out of this world. Right? There's rewards in heaven for you. There's blessings and righteousness in heaven for you. There's a place. Yeah, a place at the table of the Most High God prepared for you if you choose, and it is your choice, to walk with God. There's a lot more to talk about this walking. And so I'm going to challenge you. It's New Year's, right? It's choose you today. Where are you going to walk? Wake up. Cast off the works of darkness. Walk honestly before God. Oh, man. Anyhow, I love you. I'm going to stop talking. And my wife's saying, yay. No, she isn't. She just looked at me and gave me that look. Why'd you put me in there? And so, anyhow, I love you, sweetheart. Father, we do thank you so much. We thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that you would teach us to walk in the light of your word. Teach us, Father, what is real, what is true. Father, help us to focus, to meditate day and night on your word, in your word. Teach us, Father, to live in the light of your righteousness, Father. Protect us from the darkness and the evil of the day, Lord, and wake us up to the hope that is found in the tomorrows. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.